This talk was given by Jody Hojin Kimmel Sensei at Zen Mountain Monastery. Hojin Sensei is a resident teacher at the monastery and co-director of the Zen Center of New York City. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you'd like to make a donation or find out more about our retreats and residency programs, visit our website at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
An old Zen story. A student said to Master Ishu, please write for me something of great wisdom with your brush. Master Ishu picked up his brush and wrote one word, attention. The student said, is that all? The master wrote, attention, attention. The student became irritable. That doesn't seem profound or subtle to me. In response, Master Ishu wrote simply, attention, attention, attention. In frustration, the student demanded, what does the word attention mean? Master Ishu replied, attention means attention. Attention, the current of our life. Really, the heart of our practice, really. And I guess for the word attention, you could substitute awareness, mindfulness. Attention and mindfulness are said to be the active aspects of awareness. There's a lot of kinds of attention. And many things to notice and attend to. Careful attention, wise attention, unwise attention, scattered, the fire of attention, loving attention. And sometimes we see the word bare, B-A-R-E, before the word attention. Bare attention. Bare, simple, simple, direct, non-interfering, non-judging. If that ain't love, what is? Direct, non-interfering, non-judging, and attention, mindful, not forgetting, awareness. So bare attention is direct, non-interfering, non-judgmenting, judging, relaxed and alert to the makeup of now. Now, because that's all we got. We're not looking for any experience in particular. And if we look at our body in attention, the body is completely non-judgmental. Does your body say that stuff to you? Uh-uh. It's from the head up. It's top down. It's a receiver of experience. It doesn't have boundaries. It's porous, sensitive, vulnerable. Intelligent, intimately connected with the whole universe, just on its own. It's intimately connected all the time. So we need to receive this part of us in our Zazen too. Remember that. Bring your body along. This is not a head kind of thing. We're simply awake to what presents itself. And when this happens, as we all probably know or have felt at some point, we feel this complete connection. The world opens in ways we may not have noticed when we're just in bare attention. So I think what brought this up, this talk, was, last week Zenju Sensei spoke on awakening. And if you were here for that or listened, you might recall that she said she used to wake up in the morning and put Tom Brokaw on right away. And that would be like every day. And she could see how it colored her interactions with everything she did for the rest of the day. So the week before Sesshin, I went to visit my brother and his wife, and my mother was there too. And I went to his home, and I wasn't really prepared for the extent of television watching there. I mean, blaring, I would get up early for Zazen, and some of you may do this, but that's fine, but I haven't been used to it. And so first I thought, oh, I'll just get up early and sit because no one will be up. But that's when everyone was up with the TV on, like my mom. Like that was it, the impulse. Boom, button. Wow, 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 wow. Morning news, you know? And then in the other room, there was my brother playing his part. And so the house was kind of circular, so I found a place to sit in between both. But it was, and then I went outside because I thought it's beautiful out in this hour, but there are these certain no-see-ums there. And I was like, Tom, Good Morning America, CNN, or no-see-ums. And also I could hear it was happening around the pond. All around the pond I could hear radios and televisions too were out there. So I found a quiet place to sit, and it was a real practice in, attention and investigating, non-interference, simple, direct, non-interference, direct, alert, awake. What's the problem? Right? It's my mind. And the main point for my being there was just to be there, just to love them, just to be with my family, be in harmony with the way that they live, not change them, not become upset. Or if I was, to notice that they're not doing what I want, or how I prefer to wake up in the morning. And so I could, work with that as like, oh, I'm curious. Like, what does this feel like? This is their life. What does it feel like? Let me join in. Or I could be upset. And I got a book from Taikyo from Simon Weil on creativity. And in the beginning of her book, she says, she has a quote, absolutely unmixed attention is prayer. I really like that. Absolutely unmixed attention is prayer. So I felt like we were praying together. And we know this path is about attention. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want. A full inhabitance of our life. But it's also about the lives of others. About suffering. That our suffering is not discontinuous from the suffering of the world. So we don't really know what was on this student's mind. But if I'm him, probably there was a fair amount of confusion, frustration, upset. This kind of response can seem very disappointing, really dry. Like, how uninteresting. What is the foundation of wisdom? Attention. Don't we want something a little more exciting? Imagine that's what you get. Write something for me of great wisdom, teacher. And he gives only a one-word response. Attention. You're like, what? What? What does that mean? I remember when I did Shuso Hosen, and I was the Shuso, and I finished everything up, and I went into the Buddha hall, we did our bows, and then Daito Roshi hugged me, and I sort of just melted in there, and then he says in my ear, 80%, Hojin, 80%. And I just felt myself go like, ugh, like, what does that mean? And I have worked with that for years, and it's actually helping me right now. Help me through this talk. 80%, Hojin, 80%. It's easy to sympathize with the student. Wisdom is so rare, so valued. Quite naturally, we might assume that the way to it must be very complex and very intense. Relaxed and alert. Zazen is the art of noticing. We are on notice for everything. But how are we? So we can interpret this attention as high alert. Hi. Attention. And we freeze. And our body stiffens. We think it's paying attention, drilling. Sometimes it is. But it's not a militant attention. So see if your attention is aggressive, forceful. Relax your attention. If it's sloppy, loose, firm it up a little. Tighten it, that good kind of tightening. Like that feels like you're getting the right sound out of that instrument. We've probably all had a taste of this attention where we put ourselves totally into an experience and we disappear into it. I've seen it in caretaking. And we could probably ask anyone, not here in Sesshin, do you know what attention is? And somebody would say, yeah, I know how to pay attention. Do you know how to pay attention? Yeah, I know how to pay attention. But like the student in the story, they may have no idea what a difference it makes. Why paying attention is any big deal. You know, Daito used to have this thing he used to say in talks quite often. He used to say, an inattentive or an unexamined mind is a dangerous one. And I think of that a lot too, especially in the culture of today. We've all had this merging of mind and action. But what we may see more of, if we are paying attention, is almost instantly the mind jumps and it puts a stamp on it. I like this. No, not this. This is really pleasant. This is awful. And we build these associations that define, that limit, domesticate our wildness. That's what attention is. It's wild, free, and open. Make it its own. And that initial glimpse, that pure connection, that really true thing, slips away. It's forgotten. Off we go. So that's, we're training in that, to keep coming back, being mindful, coming back as soon as we forget, over and over and over. And this deliberately strengthens that first receptive state of knowing. Simple, direct, non-interfering, that kind of knowing. And it begins to prolong the openness that is pure. And in that split second of pristine connection and openness, the mind tangle releases. We don't have it. We don't have it. We know that vividness when we can be present in just such a way. And everything that's familiar suddenly feels unfamiliar, because it is. It really is new. Awareness is the remarkable capacity that we all have to be conscious, to know. And that's what really makes a human human. So each moment of consciousness is really a precious gift. When we make conscious what is unconscious, it's a gift, and it deserves to be spent carefully. Yet really it's seldom considered that we have it. It's so familiar that most of the time it's taken quite for granted that we're a conscious being. We have consciousness. We're like a fish in water, a bird in the sky. And awareness is the ocean that we swim in without really noticing. And one reason I think we don't notice is that awareness isn't in any way obvious. It doesn't have any color or shape or substance. There's nothing to touch, nothing we can put our finger on and say, ah, here it is. This is it. It has no characteristics to identify. Nonetheless, it is knowing. Is. It is. Knowing is. Like right now, hearing is going on and it's known. Perhaps they're seeing, hopefully, and it's being known. So there's an image in the Pali text that compares the flow of consciousness to a mountain stream flowing swiftly downhill. If there are several outlets through which the water is dispersed, so it's coming down the mountain hill, and if there's outlets where the water is dispersed, there's a leakage. And when it reaches the plain, it will be little more than a trickle. The author says, mental energy is limited. Our mind is diminished proportionately to how much its attention is fractured. The problem is not so much attention deficit as it is attention dispersion, when the available attention is spread thin. Just like water spreading out on a surface, like if you see it in a counter, the more surface area it has, the thinner it gets. The shallower the depth. The Buddha said, I know of no single thing more conducive to harm than an untrained mind. And the Buddha also said, I know of no single thing more conducive to great welfare than a developed mind. Concentration practice. We are invited to do it with deliberate intention, sustained energy, and with consistency over many, many mind moments. And it's very natural for us, for the mind to resist. It doesn't want to accept such a discipline. I think we all know this. We sometimes don't want to pay attention, concentrate, train, bring it back. We can see this in ourselves, learn from it, understand it as we become aware. We can see that the freedom of our mind is that we can go anywhere. We can wander off to any aspect of experience that is new, unusual, or more interesting. We can fantasize. We can go to the past. We can go to the future. And sometimes it's important to do this, to lay back and look at the clouds and knowingly just allow your mind to go. But what about when we don't know? What's the meaning of attention? Attention means attention. Really? Is that all there is? I think that was a Mae West song. Is that all there is? If that's all there is, then let's keep on dancing. That's what she sings. Is that all there is? She asked the question. If that's all there is, then let's keep on dancing. When I worked with Toshiko, learning pottery, she was telling me when I was throwing a pot, she said, "Put all of your attention on the inside silent space." She said, draw the space on the inside, and the outside will take care of itself. And that was so true, that what I was, what gave the pot its aliveness was the space, what wasn't there. That's what gave the form its aliveness. So that's what I concentrated on. And you really have to stretch the clay to hold that space. You can't munge it. You do a lot of munging in the beginning. And then you see at the end when it's done firing, your space is kind of, yeah, yeah. But you know, clay like us wants to be elastic, and you kind of have that give and take all the way as you're stretching and stretching. And you feel that with your both hands exchanging, giving and receiving, giving and receiving, giving and receiving, as you're drawing that line around empty space, much like an Enso. That's the power of it. And hers, of course, just stayed blown up. Like when you see her pots, it's like you experience the inside, and they're closed forms. So what you get is the inside. The outside's beautiful too. So what is relevant or important here? Why do we bring notice to how we place our cushions back on the center of our mats? How we brush our teeth? Dogen goes to great lengths. I think that's one of his longest chapters in the fascicle, next to washing your body, is brushing your teeth. How much can you say? He's got every detail. Why? Why? How we sweep the floor, ring a bell, slice a carrot. How are we in attention when we do kinhin? Where are we placing it? It could go so many places, right? That's the freedom. But why? Why connect with the body? With one step at a time, placing all of our being in that moment, disappearing into walking. It's hard. And sometimes it happens. And then we start, commenting, right? Slips away. Where do we put our shoes? Where do we put the compost? How do you handle your bowls and orioki? Where do we place our spoon? Aren't we here to deal with more important stuff? Like the matter of life and death? What's that got to do with the corner of the bathroom when you're assigned to clean it? What does it have to do with it? That's for you. That's for me. Where are we? What are we living? What are we looking for? What's out there? What's the dream? Where's the happiness? In that corner. If we show up. Like my first job here, first time I came to a Zen training weekend, me and this guy, the same tables we have downstairs, we were going to repaint them forest green. My assignment was to take a chisel and chip the chewing gum off from 1970s. Me and this guy had to chip off all the chewing gum on the underside of the tables. I was ecstatic. I thought, this is fantastic. And this guy, even though we're in silence, what? I drove 350 miles to chip chewing gum off the bottom of a table. And I was like, shh, silence. So what was he paying attention to? His upset. Later, I said to him, how was that? He goes, oh, man. And I said, well, when in your life would you ever be fulfilled, have the opportunity to be so fulfilled, chipping chewing gum from the 70s off of a table? Never. So what about these little detailed things? How do we attend? What are these so-called acts? Is it what we have to get through? Then what happens there? We can look at that. If that comes in, once I get through this, I can go back to the Zendo and sit, do the real stuff. Just look. Is it unrelated to your body? Is it unrelated to the big stuff in your mind? So, Sesshin is beautiful because we're given this opportunity to be guided to a vast, very vast way of being, of falling in love with attention. Attention is love, if it's really attention. No past, no future. So when we don't pay attention to each little this, we miss the whole thing. And the contents of this can be anything. Straightening our mats, maybe that's a decent this. Chopping an onion, so-so this makes it me cry. Visiting someone we don't want to. Being in the middle of multiple televisions trying to sit at high volume, being in a rally that's getting aggressive and violent. It doesn't matter what the contents of the moment are. Each moment is vast and open. I was thinking of no-look drawing, where you say you have an apple and or a face. We did it with faces. And you put your paper back here with your pencil, and you just look. Hello? Hello, Kuyosh? You just look. And then you follow a contour, and you just draw. And your inside, eventually, what happens is you start freaking out. Like, because you don't know what you're drawing or where you are. Are you even on the paper? But if you're really connected, if you stay connected to your object and really feel it and pay attention, you won't miss anything. It's going to have the most amazing detail and aliveness that you could never do, because once you put your eyes on it, and that's another way to draw and go back and forth, it flattens. Because suddenly our imagination sometimes kicks in and we stop looking and we just focus on what we remember, what we think it is, our idea, and it's like this one-dimensional thing. So we can use that, but it's very different experience, very different connection. I got a letter from a student yesterday. Her husband's on our healing list, and I liked her note. She wrote, "Today, we had to wait 7 hours in a waiting room to see the very, very busy heart surgeon who, at 7 p.m., at the end of his own long day, went over the whole case with us. During this long wait, I thought often of practice in the Zendo, of how glad I am for knowing the practice of focusing my mind on no thing while I wait. How wonderful it is to keep my waiting alive, awake, and faithful through the practice of mindful posture. How grateful I am for knowing the practice of just being present, for the understanding that distraction and entertainment are not only unnecessary, but actually harmful to the work of being present to now." Problems arise when we depart this moment to something else, or particularly into our self-centered thoughts. What I want, what I'm not getting, what's not happening, to our troubles. And that's the gap. That's the gap in awareness. That's the suffering, actually. And in that gap pours in all our little mischief, all the mischief of our life. All the little weasels get in. And then we create gap after gap after gap after gap all day long. So we have a practice life, which is closing the gaps. We know how to do it. We just practice it. It doesn't stop, actually. To reduce the amount of time that we spend being absent, that's what we want. That's the fulfillment we want, I think. I do. I could feel when I'm back inside and not here, and what that feels like, what it does. I'm not going to punish myself. I use it to learn, no matter what it's made of, to see what those contents actually are. The fantasy. And for many of us in this life, These deep states of tranquil alertness of which the mind is capable are entirely unknown. So we found an entry to the possibility of just attention attending. We can learn how attention can be attending. Be attention itself, attending. That's the knowing. Yes, the chattering monkey mind is capable of clever deeds, mischief, and that's not entirely without value. We use everything. But the mind is also capable of settling down, gathering its power, turning its gaze upon itself, and in such instances can come to know itself deeply, gaining the things we want that are valuable, gaining joy, gaining connection, feeling, wisdom. That's the kind of attention the teacher was concerned with. Bare of anything else, pure and simple. Master Dogen says in Fukan Zazengi, "Why leave behind the seat in your own home to wander in vain through the dusty realms of other lands? If you make one misstep, you stumble past what is directly in front of you." And I'll just end with this is from Joseph Campbell. He once observed, "It's not so much the meaning of life that we seek as the experience of being alive. It's the experience of being alive that bare attention can give. All that's required is an attentive, wholehearted willingness to be with experience." So this was a poem written by Li Po over 1,000 years ago. "The birds have vanished into the sky. Now the last cloud drains away. We sit together, the mountain and me, until only the mountain remains." Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. To find out more about our ongoing programs and residency opportunities, visit zmm.org.